You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the midweek punt. We've got Champions League football to look forward to this week. Also, action in the Europa League as the group stages return. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Dave Kellner. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well. I'm looking forward to a big midweek of football action. We've got Champions League, Europa League and hopefully, I'm quietly confident that we're going to pick out some good bets on this podcast. So if you were thinking about just listening to the first 30 seconds and then switching it off, stay with us, folks.
Yes, please do. It's interesting this year, the Champions League as well, because it's a different element of English sides, isn't it? You've got Arsenal and Man City there, of course, who are in the Champions League pretty much every year now, but no Chelsea, no Manchester United. Instead, we have Spurs and Leicester City. So it's a different element to it this time around.
It is a little bit different. Leicester haven't been in any European competition since 2000-2001 when they were in the UEFA Cup. And with Tottenham, I think this is the first time since 2010-2011 when Gareth Bale was around at Spurs that they've been in the Champions League. So it is good to have those different sides in. And I was thinking about, obviously, we do a lot of in-house previews now with regards to the Premier League football. And Chelsea versus Liverpool on Friday night,
You
automatically assume clubs of that stature are going to be in European competition, and this time they're not. So I think that gives them a definite advantage in the Premier League, and it's going to be intriguing to see how Leicester and Spurs in Leicester's case, with that lack of squad depth, they cope with having to play on Tuesday or Wednesday and then play on Saturday or Sunday. So it might hinder Leicester's progress in the Premier League. I think Spurs have got a relatively deep squad, so they should be able to cope. But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic this time around.
It is. Let's get stuck into the matches then. We'll start with Paris Saint-Germain against Arsenal, which is a 7:45pm kickoff on Tuesday evening. PSG 19-20, the draw 11-5, Arsenal 100-30. Plenty of enhanced odds markets here as well, including Angel Di Maria to score in a PSG win. That was 12-5. That's now 7-2 if you're leaning towards the home side. Olivier Giroud to score in an Arsenal win. That was 11-2. That's now out to 7-1. Giroud obviously returning to his native France. There's plenty of others on there as well. In fact, we've got eight different enhanced odds market, so do check those out. In terms of the game, Dave, I think this is quite hard to call. Paris PSG had not really the best of starts for themselves in Ligue 1. They sit seventh in the table. They're coming into this off the back of a defeat against Monaco two games ago, and then they only drew with Saint-Étienne last time out. Arsenal kind of the opposite way around. They had a really slow start to the season, terrible start to the season, but they're picking up a little bit now, beat Watford and narrowly got the better of Southampton at the weekend as well. So how do you see this panning out?
They were slightly fortunate in that game against Southampton, weren't they, as well, because I'm not convinced that was a penalty with Laurent Koscielny in an offside position as well. So I think at the start of the season, if you'd have said to me at the start of the season who's going to win this game, I'd have been all over PSG to win it. Actually spent half the morning trying to work out the exact pronunciation of their ground, whether it was Parc des Princes, Parc des Princes, or as Adam Kinghorn, one of our video editors, said, Parc des Princes, which I knew it wasn't that. But yeah, I think if you'd have said at the beginning of the season who's going to win this game, I would have said PSG. But with Laurent Blanc leaving and Unai Emery coming in, it's taken him a little bit of a while to sort of integrate those new signings into the first team. I think in that 1-1 draw with Saint-Étienne, that was the first time his three new signings had all featured in the starting lineup. And they have got an unbelievable record in European competition at home, PSG. They've only lost one of their last 39 home games in Europe. And that loss came against Barcelona back in 2015 as well. So if you're looking at that start, you're thinking PSG are going to at least pick up a point in this game. But Arsenal are unbeaten in their last 12 away games against French clubs in Europe as well. They've won eight and drawn four of those. They've won the last seven against French teams in Europe. away from home. But Unai Emery was clearly brought in for Laurent Blanc because of his failure to produce a Champions League winning side. So Emery, having won the Europa League with Sevilla the last 3 years, they brought him in hoping to replicate that in the Champions League. This match troubles me slightly. It does trouble me. I can see both teams scoring. I think that's definitely the best bet in this match. Arsenal have scored in their last 7 away matches in the competition. And although I mentioned PSG's record at home, which is fantastic, they do concede. They've only kept 5 clean sheets in their last 15 at home in the Champions League. Conceded 3 against Monaco. Conceded 1 against Saint Etienne at home on Friday as well. Unai Emery is just not sure of his starting lineup yet. He's not got that first 11 bedded down. So I actually favour Arsenal at the prices at 100-30. If you were putting a gun to my head and asking me to pull the trigger on each of the, I wouldn't obviously do that, but asking me to pull the trigger on any of the outright markets, I'd be with Arsenal at 100-30. But I do like both teams to score in the game. If you're saying you've got to have one bet on the match, it's yes, both teams to score, and that's a 4-6 shot. So it is short, but that's what I like here.
What about putting the two together? Arsenal to win and both teams to score, 11-2.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that. If you're looking for an outside shot, I suppose here. You'd think Alexis Sanchez, who came on at the weekend, is going to start in that game, and he is pivotal in this Arsenal side. He's 14-5 to score any time, 9-1 to score first and last, so you could look at that. The problem PSG have got is Hatem Ben Arfa came in for Edinson Cavani at the weekend. Jesse Rodriguez started, Lucas Moura started, but he's not got that starting 11 nailed down. David Luiz has left, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has left, and those, Ibrahimovic in particular, is a huge loss, and that's hurt them in the early part of the season. I think he'll get it together, Unai Emery, because he's a terrific manager. And we'll also, I think, see the best of Shkodran Mustafi and Lucas Perez, who were reportedly a little bit undercooked for that weekend match against Southampton. They're coming back to match fitness, so Arsenal may be to shade this, despite PSG's amazing record at home in Europe. But I like both teams to score at 4-6.
Okay, let's move on to the second match we look at on Tuesday evening. Manchester City against Borussia Mönchengladbach. It's a 7:45 kickoff at the Etihad. Man City are 4-9. The draw 7-2. And Mönchengladbach are 6-1. Manchester City had a very fine start to the season, Dave. They've got a 100% record in the Premier League. They won the Manchester Derby at the weekend as well. And they got the better of Borussia Mönchengladbach in the Champions League last season. So it's hard to fancy the away side here, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Manchester City win this game. And you mentioned one of those meetings last season. They beat them both home and away, and both teams scored in both those games as well.
Yeah.
There's a market that I love here, and it's not a... it's not an absolutely huge price, but it's Manchester City to win and both teams to score in the game, 8-5. Statistically, I think it's just an outstanding bet. Manchester City have won 6 of their last 8 Champions League group games, which is good. But you look at the start of the season in the Premier League, perfect start to the season, won all 4 matches. Both teams have scored in all 4 of those games as well.
Yep.
And you can understand why with Manchester City, because they play with such fluidity in midfield, and the first half against Manchester United at Old Trafford, they completely controlled the game, bossed that match in midfield with Kevin De Bruyne, David Silva, Nolito and Raheem Sterling sort of interchanging their positions throughout. And Fernandinho is really the unsung hero. He does so much donkey work in front of that back four, and that back four is definitely Manchester City's weakness, particularly without Vincent Kompany in there. They're trying to find a partner for John Stones, a natural partner. Nicolas Otamendi, I don't think, is a very good footballer. at this level, when you're talking a side that have ambitions to win the Premier League and win the Champions League, that's what Pep Guardiola's been brought in to do, and why Manuel Pellegrini was sacked because they've not had Champions League success. This is their sixth consecutive participation in the Champions League, sixth season. And they've only made it past the last 16 once, which wasn't good enough. That was last year when they reached the semi-finals, eventually being knocked out by Real Madrid. And Pellegrini, God bless him, he handled himself with such dignity, didn't he, even though he knew he was going out. And I think that gained him plenty of admirers. But ultimately, the reason he was sacked was because they didn't make the final of the Champions League. They weren't challenging for this trophy. One stat that I love here as well, none of Manchester City's 30 Champions League group games have ended 0-0. But they've only kept four clean sheets in those 30 matches as well. They have problems defensively in this competition. Gladbach can score. They showed that against City last season in both matches. And they've not started the season very well in Germany. Freiburg beat them 3-1 at the weekend. But they did beat Young Boys Bern 9-2 on aggregate in the playoffs to qualify for the group stages this year. And Borussia Mönchengladbach's last two Champions League group games have produced 12 goals as well. They've scored six and conceded six of those. I reckon it's a cracker. Man City to win and both teams to score because they are exploitable defensively. I like the price at 8-5. If you're looking at goal scorers here, Mr. Walton, yes. Sergio Aguero is available for selection in this match. He's been suspended, obviously, in the Premier League and in the EFL Cup as well. He's 3-1 to score first in this game. You'd expect him to start, but he's actually enjoying his longest drought in the competition. He's not scored in his last five Champions League games, and the last time he went that long without a goal was back in 2011-2012. And he's 3-1. I'm not particularly attracted by that price at 3-1. A Mönchengladbach player that I like to score here is he is the favourite, Rafael Caetano. He's known as Rafael. 15-8 he is to score any time in the match. He's scored six goals in his last four Champions League games, including the qualifiers. So there's a couple of bets to go out, but the best one here, definitely that City to win and both teams to score.
Yeah, like it. Few enhanced odds markets to mention as well. Kevin De Bruyne to score in a Man City win, that was 17-10. That's now 5-2. De Bruyne to score two or more was 15-2. That's now 9-1. And Aguero to score, City to win 2-0, 3-0 or 4-0. That was 11-2. That's now 6-1. You won't like that anyway because it doesn't have Gladbach scoring. But Kevin De Bruyne was a constant thorn in Manchester United's side at the weekend. And a couple of the enhanced odds offers there feature him, so should be of interest.
He's fantastic, isn't he? Mm. I think he is absolutely superb. I mean, when he was signed by Manchester City, some of the tabloid newspapers, which will remain nameless in this piece, they basically stamped his face onto the back page of their papers saying £60 million reject. Because obviously Chelsea sold him, and then he was bought back for an astronomical amount by Manchester City.
Yeah.
But he's repaying the faith that the club had in him to sign him for that huge fee. And the way he nipped in there at the weekend, stealing the ball off the toe of Daley Blind before coolly slotting past David De Gea, is what that man is all about.
Mm.
So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he got on the score sheet. He's 7-5 to score any time. City could get three or four in this game. I'm just hoping Gladbach get one, basically.
All right, let's look at the third and final game we're going to look at on Tuesday evening. Barcelona host Celtic. Celtic with a tough trip to the Nou Camp. Barcelona 1-10 to win the game, Dave. That might be the shortest Champions League match price I've ever seen. the draw is 7-1. Celtic are 33-1. But Celtic have got a history against Barcelona in this competition, Dave.
They have beaten them before, haven't they?
Mm.
They beat them 2-1. That was back in November 2012. Guess how much possession they had in percentage terms in that game.
I want to say... I'm going to be miles off here. 24%.
15%.
Yeah, I knew it was
possession.
Really short.
15% possession, and they won that game 2-1. It's an unbelievable. If you're a fan, I suppose, a Celtic fan, getting to go to the Nou Camp in their opening Champions League group game is going to be pretty special. But you mentioned it was tough. It is tough.
Yeah.
I mean, Barcelona have won their last 11 Champions League games at the Camp Nou, scoring 29 goals, conceding only 6. That's since Luis Enrique took charge. 12th home win in a row would equal the record in the competition that's held by Manchester United and Bayern Munich. And we mentioned that Celtic win. Barcelona have won 6 of their 8 Champions League games against Celtic. And I think he made a mistake at the weekend, Luis Enrique, because they were beaten, weren't they? Barcelona, surprisingly. I know the Champions League is very important, but do you really need to be resting players on a Saturday for a La Liga match when you know that Celtic are coming to town on a Tuesday? I think that's a mistake. They're 1-10 to win this game, and he left Luis Suarez, Lionel Messi and Andres Iniesta on the bench, and they got beaten 2-1 by Deportivo Alaves. In hindsight, that's a catastrophic result, really, because Real Madrid are 3-3 in the league. So they're playing catch-up in La Liga now. And this is an easy game, really, for Barcelona. I know Celtic were pretty impressive at the weekend in the Old Firm derby against Rangers.
Yeah,
I expected better from Rangers. Watched that match and thought, the first meeting between the two clubs in the league since 2012, Moussa Dembele scored 3 times in the game, and there was a sending off. That was one of the enhanced odds offers, and we're all over that one, obviously.
Yeah.
Another sending off in the Old Firm derby. They went through 3 rounds of qualifying to get into the competition, beating the Lincoln Red Imps, Astana, and Hapoel Beersheba. I suppose Brendan Rodgers will want to make his stamp on this competition because he's not got a good record in the Champions League, really. He's won only 1 of his 6 group games as a manager in the competition. That was against Ludogorets back in September 2014 when he was in charge of Liverpool. So he's not made his mark in Europe yet, Brendan Rodgers. I suppose we're looking for value here, aren't we, on Barcelona?
Yep. So where is it?
I'll tell you where it is. I think it's with Luis Suarez. But I can't have the Luis Suarez to score, Barcelona to win, and both teams to score enhanced from 13-5 to 3-1, because without Lee Griffiths, who is going to be missing in this game, I don't think Celtic will score. So I like Luis Suarez to score, Barcelona to win 3-0, 4-0 or 5-0, which has been enhanced to 5-2. I could just see those score lines landing. And looking at Luis Suarez, 8 goals in the Champions League last season, 3 in his last 3 in the competition. He'll be chomping at the bit, won't he, to get started here, given he was on the substitutes bench at the weekend in that surprising defeat against Deportivo Alaves. So I'll go Luis Suarez in a 3-0, 4-0 or 5-0 win.
Was that turn of phrase on purpose?
It was. Jumping Thank you for picking bit. Up at it, yeah. On it. I appreciate that. It was sort of a bad Lee Phelps pun because he's not with us on this podcast, so I thought I'd throw that one in just for him.
Okay, and I believe Luis Suarez has recently broken a Ronaldo record.
Has he?
In the first 100 games in La Liga, Suarez has more goals and assists combined than Ronaldo did.
Is that right?
Well,
that's because Ronaldo never passes it.
Well, that's what it is. He far more goals probably, but no assists.
Yeah.
Barcelona to win that then, pretty comprehensively. Suarez to be involved.
Yep.
Let's move on to Wednesday night's games. We've got a couple of games to look at there. We'll start with the Premier League champions, who I'm sure Leicester City fans will not tire of hearing that. Club Brugge are the hosts for Leicester. Club Brugge 9-5, the draw 21-10. Leicester City are 8-5. Several enhanced odds markets here. Any Leicester backers might be interested in Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win. That was 7-2. That's now 5-1. Or possibly Jamie Vardy to score, Leicester to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. That was 11-2. That's now 6-1. Jamie Vardy off the mark at the weekend, I believe. Can Leicester do it, Dave? Can they take their remarkable season last season? Well, last year, rather, if I can string a sentence together that makes some kind of sense. And
I'm enjoying this.
And take that momentum into the Champions League, because this is another level. But then again, you almost fancy them to be beating clubs like Club Brugge.
Yeah, I think they'll win. I think they're a good price, actually, at 8-5. I know they are slightly favoured in the market over Club Brugge at time of recording, and I think that's right. Club Brugge aren't a very good side, really. I mean, you look at the Belgian teams in the Champions League, only one Belgian club has ever reached the knockout stages of the Champions League. Do you want to have a guess? I know you're looking,
I might have a
thinking
guess.
About
I might
looking
have a
quizzical
guess.
Over there.
Anderlecht.
No, it's Ghent.
Ooh.
It was last season, actually.
Yeah.
They were eliminated in the last 16 in the end. So that kind of tells you about the quality of the league, doesn't it? It gives you an indicator that the league isn't of the highest quality. And Club Brugge haven't started well either in the Belgian league. They've only picked up 7 points from their opening 6 games. I think we're getting a better price on Leicester because of the manner of their defeat at Anfield on Saturday. Beaten 4-1 in that game, but Jamie Vardy had his opportunities when they were 2-1 down to equalise. Probably should have scored more than one, in all honesty, Vardy. And Simon Mignolet made a couple of decent saves against him. I think Claudio Ranieri will want to shore things up defensively because of that performance. But Club Brugge don't have much of an attacking threat. They really don't. And this is their fifth Champions League participation, Club Brugge. Their first since 2005-2006. They've never reached the knockout stages. They've finished third in their group in each of the four Champions League, their previous four Champions League campaigns. Winless in their last 8 games against English clubs in the competition as well. Only drawn 2 of those, lost 6. They failed to keep a clean sheet in any of those games. Leicester win this.
Mm.
And I think I think Vardy scores and Leicester win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. I think it's a massive price, the enhanced odds offer there. Vardy to score in a Leicester 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 win. It's enhanced from 11-2 to 6-1. They'll defend deep, hope Club Brugge attack and hit them on the counter-attack. That's what they did all of last season. Worked so well with that drink water over the top ball to Jamie Vardy. Riyad Mahrez is close to clicking, in my opinion as well. It won't be long before he's scoring wonderful goals and assisting as well. Straightforward, Leicester win this game. I like the 8-5. I like the enhanced odds offer, and I think Jamie Vardy gets on the score sheet here as well. He's 6-4 to score any time in the match, and I'll take a pop at Jamie Vardy to score 2 or more in this game as well at 8-1. Should have got a couple at Anfield. Liverpool, a vastly superior side to Club Brugge, so Leicester win this.
Yeah, they're going to be so fired up as well, aren't they, Leicester? The first Champions League game. I think 8-5 is a great price.
Yeah, I do, really do.
Tottenham Hotspur next. Their game against Monaco, also 7:45 on Wednesday evening. Tottenham are priced up at 8-11 in the market. The draw 5-2. Monaco are 4-1. Tottenham, Dave, arrive here in pretty good form. They annihilated Stoke at the weekend. They've got a winnable group probably in the Champions League, so they'll be wanting to get off to a winning start. But Monaco, no mugs here, Dev.
No, they've played well. They've started the season very well, Monaco, surprisingly well. They've upset the odds actually on the French League coupon a couple of times this season already, because they were a big price against PSG, big price against Lille as well. And the top of the French division.
Oh, I thought I was going to say it again.
No, I'm not going to say it again.
The way you said league.
Yeah, there you go. Superb. There you go. I won't say it. The top of the French first division so far. They're a good price. The one thing to note here as well is this game is not being played at White Hart Lane. It's being played at Wembley. So I think they've been priced up as if they're a home side here, Tottenham. And I know that the Harry Kane's come out in the press and said that they're going to get X amount of fans in there and it's going to be the atmosphere of a home game. But you can't replicate. It just won't happen like that.
Would it not be better? They'll fill Wembley. They'll have a bigger atmosphere than White Hart Lane.
I don't think so, because they know the dimensions of the pitch. They know every blade of grass at White Hart Lane. And it's more of an occasion for Monaco, isn't it, going to Wembley? I think that their players are likely to perform above themselves knowing they're playing at Wembley than if they were playing at White Hart Lane. So I think it's a good thing for Monaco here. When Tottenham were last in the Champions League, by the way, we mentioned this earlier, in 2010-2011, no team scored more goals than them in the group stages. They got 18 in their only previous appearance in the Champions League. I think this match looked a good deal more appealing at the start of the season for Tottenham, but Monaco have been fantastic so far. I think the value here, Monaco at 4-1, they've only conceded 1 goal in their last 8 group games in the Champions League as well. That was against Benfica back in November 2014. They tend to come unstuck when they get into the knockout stage as Monaco. So I fancy Monaco at the prices. I like the odds at 4-1 for them to win. One goal scorer that I like, if you just scroll down slightly here, Fabinho to score for Monaco is 11-2. He's the right back that Manchester United targeted. He played under Jose Mourinho, I believe. When Jose Mourinho was boss at Real Madrid, he brought him into the first team back in 2013. So Manchester United went for him. He takes penalties for Monaco. Got 8 goals last season, all from the penalty spot. He's got 4 in his first 5 this term. And he's a nice price at 11-2 to score any time. Yeah. So if they do happen to nick a penalty, he'll be the one taking it. And I think Spurs were slightly... You look at Spurs and say they're in great form, great nick at the moment, given that result against Stoke at the weekend where they won 4-0. Mark Hughes, I don't know if you've seen it, he had a complete meltdown in that match.
Lost it.
Lost it completely. Had 2 semi-controversial decisions went against Stoke when he thought they should have had a couple of penalties, and Marko Arnautovic got angry as well, and he went apoplectic basically on the sideline. Mark Hughes was sent to the stands, and Stoke capitulated afterwards. That had a major bearing on that match, because Stoke had done really well in those opening 20 minutes. They could have taken the lead, and we could have been talking about this match with a completely different complexion. And Tottenham are being priced as if they are the home side here, and I know it's being played at Wembley, and it is going to be made into Tottenham's home in the Champions League, but 8-11 short, and I like Monaco at 4-1. Price play there, and have a look at Fabinho to score any time as well.
You're going to like the look of this then, Dave. Enhanced odds, Fabinho to score in a Monaco win. That was 12-1. That's now 16-1.
The compilers have got it there, haven't they? They've made that man. They know that obviously he's a right back, and they're trying to maybe lure punters in there. If they get a penalty, he should dispatch it. So, yeah, I don't mind that. If you want to throw a few quid at that, 16-1.
Superb. The Europa League next then, Thursday night. We've got 2 English sides in action in the Europa League. We'll start with Feyenoord hosting Manchester United. And the betting is like this. Feyenoord are 16-5. The draw 23-10. Manchester United are 10-11. Feyenoord in fine form. They sit top of the Eredivisie. They've won all 5 of their games this season. Manchester United were doing well under Mourinho until coming unstuck in the Manchester derby at the weekend. They need to bounce back. It's still a chance for Mourinho to get Manchester United playing in European competition, but when you look at the Europa League, you don't necessarily want a game as tough as this, do you, on a Thursday night?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Yeah. A difficult match for Manchester United. They look short in the betting. Instinctively, you're thinking, do you want to be taking odds on Manchester United away from home in Europe? Because in the last couple of seasons, it's not worked out for them away from home. They've lost 6 of their last 7 away European games, excluding the qualifiers, that is, and they've drawn the other. Jose Mourinho, no stranger to this competition, though. He won it the last time he was in it, back in 2002-2003. Wow, 13 years ago now. My maths tripped me up there in the Europa League. I found his comments really strange after the Manchester derby, because he's the sort of manager, when Manchester United win, it's down to him. He's made brilliant tactical decisions and got everything spot on. But when they lose, it's about the players and the players not being big enough for the occasion. He made some mistakes tactically. He went very aggressive from the outset, bringing Henrik Mkhitaryan into that match for his full debut was strange in my mind, because he'd not played much football. He'd come on as a substitute against Hull City, and had it been said that he wasn't fully fit, to throw him into a game of that magnitude for his full debut was a strange one. Didn't play Marcus Rashford, who performed so well for the under-21s and scored the winner against Hull, which I thought was weird as well. And they never got a grip in midfield at all. Jesse Lingard was poor, and he's been... I think him and Mkhitaryan have been singled out by Mourinho, but you'd like him to maybe not maybe front up to the press himself a little bit rather than throwing his players under the bus like he did. And that's what soured his relationship with a lot of the Chelsea players at the end of his reign at Chelsea, and that eventually left him in an impossible situation, basically. And that's why he had to leave the club. So I found that weird. And I think when he maybe got up after the weekend, he might have regretted some of those comments.
Was his halftime substitutions an admission that he got it wrong as well? He took off Mkhitaryan and Lingard and brought in Rashford and Ander Herrera, who you'd argue probably should have started in their places anyway. Was it an admission that he'd got it wrong?
Yeah, definitely.
And then for him to come out and blame the players as he has.
Something's not right there.
It raises a few questions,
do that,
doesn't it?
Really, yeah. And he's even said that if he could have taken them off after 20 minutes without completely wrecking their confidence, he would have. Well, saying that publicly
wrecks the confidence.
Precisely. So,
is he just trying to spark a reaction? He hasn't been there long, has he? So
maybe he's trying to do that. And I mean, he's been an incredible manager. He's won trophies at every club he's been at. So who am I to question his policy and what he says in the media? But it'll be intriguing to see what the response is. And Marcus Rashford, he's already said he's going to play in this match. I'm going to be looking at Marcus Rashford to score a goal in the game. He is a decent price, I think, 29-20, when Manchester United are 10-11 to win the game. I wonder whether Zlatan Ibrahimovic might be rested here. 34 years old now. They want to play him in pretty much every Premier League match, I think.
Yeah.
I thought at the beginning of the season he might not get much game time in Europe and they might go with a different setup. And he said that Mourinho said that he believes Rashford is a number 9, and if they're going to play him in different positions, they need to work with him and mould him into sort of a Mkhitaryan-style player or an Anthony Martial-style player that can be effective out wide as well. So Marcus Rashford, when he came on at the weekend, he had Bakary Sagna in his pocket. He really did. It looked fantastic. And they couldn't get the ball to him often enough on Saturday for him to be as effective as he might have been. And one other thing to note here is that, of course, Marcus Rashford, when he made his full debut for Manchester United, it came in this competition, didn't it, against Midtjylland back on in late February. That's the night he shot to stardom, really, and then went on that amazing goal-scoring run, because Anthony Martial was due to play that game, pulled up in the warm-up, and then he came on and Rashford scored twice and Manchester United went on to win 5-1. So I'll just play... I'm not sure about the outright here. I just like Marcus Rashford to score in the game at 29-20 is my bet.
Okay. I do think it is a difficult game to call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Manchester United are much the better side. And if you disregard that result on Saturday, you'd be inclined to go with them at 10-11. I wonder whether that's going to have a psychological effect on the squad, Mourinho's comments going into this match on Thursday night. And that's the concern with backing a team odds on.
And considering how well Feyenoord have started the season and their home record as well, only PSV have beaten them in a long time, since January this year.
Yeah.
When's January? First month of the year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good record, you have to say.
Yeah, so I don't want to be with Man U at 10-11. I don't rate the Dutch league very highly. So I'll steer away from the 90 minutes betting and just go with the man Rashford at 29-20 to score any time.
Let's move on to the final game we'll look at then. Southampton against Sparta Prague is where we finish. Southampton are 1-2, the draw 3-1. Sparta Prague are 6-1. Southampton currently in the relegation zone in the Premier League, sitting 18th in the Premier League. Sparta Prague second in the Czech Liga. But I don't think Southampton's results necessarily do them justice at the moment. They were unlucky against Arsenal, as you mentioned, weren't completely outclassed by Manchester United. A draw with Sunderland is possibly disappointing for them, but I think there's more there than meets the eye. But then again, at 1-2, I'm not entirely sure I want to back them here.
That's the thing with Southampton. You get this every single week. Southampton are a team to back away from home at big clubs at big prices, rather than backing them at home and getting your fingers burnt at short prices. It's already happened in the Premier League this season. They were a very short price to beat Sunderland. And We talked about this in detail on the punt when they were at home against Sunderland, myself, Tom and Derek. And I think it was tough to back against Southampton in that match, but you can't be with them at very short prices. And they're 1-2 to win this game. And Sparta Prague are actually doing pretty well in the Czech League at the moment. They've picked up 14 points from their six games and are lying second in the league. And as you mentioned, Southampton 18th, having just picked up 2 points from their four games. Inter Milan and Hapoel Beersheva are the other two teams in this group. So Southampton will fancy their chances of making it through to the knockout stages. But the Czech side have kept a clean sheet in their last four away games. I can see this being quite low scoring. A 1-0 or 2-0 win perhaps for Southampton. I'd rather back Southampton to win and under 2.5 goals than Southampton to win at 1-2 in the outright market, definitely. As far as Claude Puel is concerned and his record in Europe, he's reached the last 16 of the Champions League in each of his three seasons in charge in Lyon, which isn't bad, 2008-2011. And Southampton have yet to lose a European game at St Mary's, winning one and drawing two. The enhanced odds offer I like here is Dusan Tadic to score and Southampton to win. I think the boost is nice. 15-8, enhanced to 3-1. I think he's fantastic. Underrated player, Dusan Tadic. Nearly scored at the weekend against Arsenal. Hit that free kick, which curled wonderfully over the wall, dipped, hit the crossbar, hit Petacek's back and dribbled into the net. Dusan Tadic will score soon. Him to score and Southampton to win. A nice enhancement there to 3-1, given that Southampton are 1-2 to win this match.
I think Sparta Prague are too big at 6-1.
Do you think so?
I think so, yeah. 6-1.
Are we getting not conned, but are we sort of blinkered by their league form?
Yeah, maybe.
When the Czech League, we know how weak the Czech League is.
Yeah, but you mentioned the coach's record in Europe. Sparta Prague's record in Europe as well. They're one of the more experienced sides that Southampton are going to face. They've been in this competition previously and they travel well in the competition. They've only lost away at Villarreal, really, in recent times. And I think 6-1's too big.
Okay. I think Southampton will win, but I wouldn't ever take 1-2. I'd look at ways of making that an odds against price.
Yeah.
And throwing Dusan Tadic in there is something that I like. And looking at Southampton to win and under 2.5 goals, 1-0, 2-0 to Southampton. That's 11-5 Southampton to win and under 2.5. So those are the two markets I play here.
Yeah. Yeah, if I was going to back Southampton, it'd be something like that. I don't think they'd run away with it.
So. No.
By the way, I'm going to continue my Sparta-Prague love affair here and mention David Lafata to score. He's been in fine goal-scoring form already this season. Sparta-Prague to win. That was 10-1. That's 14-1.
Right.
I might have a little go on that.
Okay. Well, we're sort of going head-to-head here, but I think we're kind of singing from the same hymn sheet as far as backing Southampton at short price is concerned.
Yeah. Very good. Do you have a best bet, Dave? Anything you really fancy?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Is it like I do it every time?
It's as if it's part of the programme. Manchester City to win and both teams to score is my best bet, 8-5.
Yep, do like the look of that. Thank you very much, Dave. Good luck and enjoy it this week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.